Under the intense heat of the flame, the solid glass rods relax and turn into syrup, becoming gooey and stretchy. Today, Andrew is turning this syrup into what has become a mild obsession of his, jellyfish.
I had seen finished jellyfish other people were doing and just really liked the way they look. After you start making them, it kind of fuels that fire. You just want to get them better and better and better. So, yeah, I guess it's something hard, but, I mean, that's what keeps me going back is just this constant search for that perfect iridescent jellyfish that has great movement and looks realistic.
These glass jellyfish are suspended inside clear pendants, about the size of a walnut, and they have a dreamlike quality to them, with their translucent blue and green tentacles frozen in a gentle swirl. Andrew is captivated by the jellyfish, but he also relies on them as a source of income.
When you make stuff, and it's a seasonal thing like this, you don't get to put it in front of anybody. You're trying to figure out what's going to sell this summer, and you just have no idea. But I thought the jellyfish were going well, so I made a lot of those over last winter. And thank God, when May rolled around, and the item that people were really drawn to were the jellyfish.
Andrew spends most of his time working at a glass studio in Sandwich with a large furnace. But for a few days each week, he works out of his small shed in pursuit of the perfect jellyfish. His shed seats about two uncomfortably, and inside there's a metal desk lined with small tools and glass rods of all different colors. The torch sits right in the middle of the desk, and Andrew's hands navigate over and around the flame as he works.
All right, let's do
it. He lights the torch to give me a demonstration.
Get the fan. So this ventilation system just gets all the combusted materials out.
He heats a rod of striped clear glass, and as it softens, he twists it to create the swirl of the jellyfish tentacles.
I'm going to thin this out a little bit, and then also to help the tentacles wave back and forth, I'm going to wrap some clear around this.
Even as he's explaining the process, Andrew's eyes never leave the glass, and his hands never stop moving. Andrew started working with glass while he was in college, studying for a degree in business. When glassworking first caught his eye, he was so intrigued that he was worried about becoming too caught up in it.
I originally avoided it because I knew that it looked like something that was so cool and I figured it would be a trap and I'd get sucked in and just get stuck in it. So I avoided it for a couple years and took the steps to get a minor in art. So it was my senior year and I had all the prerequisites and I took it and it was just, I loved it. It was just, you had to pay so much attention to it that it just took me away and just, I had to focus fully on this one thing.
Glassworking was enough to make Andrew stay for another year, even after he completed his degree in business.
I mean, it takes a couple semesters to get to the point where you can make something that you want, where you'd be like, I want to make this, and what you can come out with actually looks like the idea you had. I mean, before that, it's kind of just, you're just making a mess most of the time. So that's why I had to stick around, because I had just got to the point where it got fun, and I was making nice stuff. And it, so getting the extra year and gave me a lot more experience. And then I had to go to the... had to get a job after that. So I moved to Portland, Oregon, got a job doing IT work and did glass occasionally on weekends.
When his IT job wanted to transfer him, Andrew quit and came to the Cape to see if he could make a go of it as a full-time glass artist.
This seemed like a place where people support the arts and it's a great area for artists. There's a good artist community. It works. And
you prefer it to working IT?
Both have their ups and downs.
Yeah.
I think it might be healthy to have a combination of things. That's kind of the problem with doing an art or something like that full-time is that eventually you need to sell it to make a living, so you don't necessarily get to experiment sometimes as much as you want. When I had a job and I did it as a hobby, it was like a release. Sometimes it is, and sometimes it feels forced, so it goes back and forth. But there's some days when it's fantastic and it's the dream, and there's some days where it feels a little bit like a trap.
The line between living the dream and being caught in a trap may blur at times for Andrew, but if there's anything that glassworking has taught him, it's how to adapt.
It's a constant set of problems that you're presented with, and there's variation each time you go through it. You're presented with a little bubble or a little this, or this color's moving this way, or a little crack. So it's just a constant set of problems, and it's always changing, and I think that's one of the beauties of it.
For WCAI's Creative Life, I'm Jason Moon in East Falmouth.